Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, welcome back, folks. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend Steve Martin. Steve is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Along with his lovely wife, Catherine, they have written a book called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive Loving Communication. And in addition to that, let me tell you a little bit more about Steve. He is the chief operating officer of their company, which is called The Positive Way. Also, he is a seasoned professional manager, author, consultant, a patented inventor, and a problem-solving expert. And we know that, folks, because if you've been listening to this show for the last few months, you know that Steve has been with us. Actually, he's been with us now. He and his wife appeared on the show about a year ago, I think, Steve, wasn't it? About a year ago?
Yes, just about a year ago, Jim.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's great to be here.
Good. Thank you. It's always good to have you. And folks, if you've been listening to the show, you know that Steve has been doing a series with me on his white paper, cost-cutting measures, and it's actually called Cost Reduction Programs for Increased Profitability, a white paper that is available from his website. And you can also get it from us, along with a copy of their book called Talk to Me, if you answer one of my trivia questions. And let me give you those. I have two left because we used the others up last hour. The first question is, on this day, the League of Nations was established in 1920. What organization replaced the League of Nations? Also, this is Ray Bolger's birthday. He was born in 1904. What was the name of the outstanding classic movie that he starred in? He was an unusual character in that movie. I'll just give you a little bit of a hint. A very unusual character in that movie, one of the classics, Ray Bolger. Answer one of those two trivia questions, and we'll send you a copy of Steve and Catherine's book, and along with his white paper, which is called Cost Reduction Programs for Increased Profitability. Steve, and by the way, folks, the number to do that on is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. Steve, we're getting down to the end of our cost reduction program series, just about to wrap it up. We've done this now for several weeks, and I want to thank you on behalf of my audience. And, of course, we'll have you back many, many times and fairly soon, actually, on to talk about some other things. But I really want to thank you as we wrap up the cost reduction program series. I really want to thank you for spending the time with us and for this outstanding resource, your white paper on cost reduction.
Jim, you're very welcome. I feel that I have an obligation to help the business here in the United States, and that's one of my contributions to it.
Well, folks, when you hear Steve say that, and when you hear other members of the Brain Trust say those things, they mean that. And that's the reason why they are members of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. As you've heard me say, one of the ways that you get invited to become a member of the Brain Trust is that you demonstrate to me that you have made a commitment and you're prepared to make a commitment to helping small business in America. And Steve does that. There's no question about it. Steve, let's talk about the 14 questions that you need to consider to make sure your cost reduction program works as you expected it to work.
Well, Jim, one of the things that quite often happens when organizations try to install a program or a process is they leave out some of the key points. And so I've generated a list of 14 questions that I'd like each person to ask themselves or each organization to ask themselves in preparation for actually installing it and making it work. And, for example, the first question, and again, all of these should be, the answers are really dependent on the exact nature of your organization and the needs that you have. First one is really how to maximize the potential for the program. And that's a broad-reaching question, which really says, let's take a look at all of these elements and make sure that we're not throwing something together here that doesn't meet our needs and doesn't have the legs that it's going to last for a long time. We've seen too many programs and processes come and go like fads.
Mm-hmm.
And this cost reduction program that I have outlined in this white paper is not a fad. I've personally used it for almost three decades, and it's been ongoing in some major corporations and smaller corporations for that length of time.
What are some specific things that we could do to maximize the success?
Well, first of all, to recognize that you have to overcome a natural human resistance to change.
Now, that's the culture.
That's a cultural effect. It's also an individual effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said this before, but people and stones have one thing in common. They both resist change.
Yeah. It takes a long time to change them, doesn't it?
That's right. And you look at small business in particular, and everybody has so much going on. You know, too many priorities, fires burning here and there, and lots of priorities. So one of the things that we have to look at is making sure that people are psychologically on board with a program and they own it so they are willing to accept it.
When you go into a business to introduce the cost reduction program, Steve, and I've done this in other things that I've introduced into companies, one of the things that happens is I get this funny look on the face of my client when I tell them that we've got to make sure that this is something that the employees will accept. And they look at me like, what are you talking about? They work for me. But you and I both know that that's not how it works. And what do you? How do you introduce that concept to your clients when you go to them to make sure that they succeed with this program and that they obviously have to take into consideration how their employees are going to accept this?
Well, one of the things I really like to do is to encourage them to have a grassroots program and actually start communicating the concept of the program and getting some reaction directly to all of the people who are going to be involved even before the program's brought in. So it's more of a meeting that says, this is what we're looking at, this is what it'll do for us, what do you think, rather than having a meeting where you bring everybody in and say, this is what we are going to do, and this is how you are going to do it.
Do you have to introduce it in a more general way? I mean, or do you just say, we're going to start a cost reduction program, what do you think? Stand by, Steve. Hold that thought. There's our music. We have to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. Steve's going to answer my question when we come right back after these messages. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. That's the number to call if you want to answer one of my trivia questions and win a copy of Steve's white paper and his book, Call Talk to Me. 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us today. Our special guest and our very good friend is Steve Martin. He is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, a very valuable member of the Brain Trust. He is his organization is called The Positive Way, and his book is called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive Loving Communications, which we are giving away if you want to give us a call. Also, we're giving away a copy of Steve's white paper, which is called Cost Reduction Programs for Increased Profitability, and we're winding up a series that Steve has been conducting with us on how to reduce costs in your organization, how to put more money on the bottom line. And Steve, before we go any further, tell our audience how they can get your book and how they can contact you.
Well, great, Jim. Thank you. They can visit our website at www.positive-way.com/business. And there's a tremendous amount of free resources right there on the site for anybody who's interested in business. And you can also connect to our communication relationship site and learn how to keep your communications on a positive direction.
And that's where they can also order your book.
That's correct.
If they want to buy the book. But if they just want to get it for free, they can call us at 888-822-8255. But you have to answer one of our trivia questions. You have to earn it today if you want to get a copy of the book. And so just give us a call, and we'll give you let you answer one of the trivia questions. Or if you have a question for Steve about cost reduction programs. And, Steve, what we were talking about how to introduce a cost reduction program to your company. And one of the things that I have seen, not necessarily in a cost reduction program, but when I've introduced programs to a business that a client has asked me to introduce, we've developed something For example, it might be a compensation plan, something that I developed for them, helped them in conjunction, in concert with the owner. We developed a compensation plan, and they've or some other plan, maybe it be a quality plan or whatever, and they've asked me to actually introduce the plan. That has happened a lot. And also something that's happened a lot is when I introduce that to the employees, the first thing they do is roll their eyes back in their head and as if they don't say it, as if to say, oh, no, here's another program that the boss has got for us. And I'm sorry to report to you that, especially in the early days of in my consulting work, I have been part of that scrap heap. The program that I was asked to initiate wound up failing because there wasn't the resolve by the management, even though they said they had the resolve, or two, they had not the owners had not taken into consideration the culture and the individuals that were their employees.
Absolutely, it happens all the time, Jim, and unfortunately, it tends to be human nature that something really looks good in the beginning, and management grabs onto it like it's the next thing since sliced bread. But they fail to fully recognize what the necessity is for the organization. You know, is this a fad, something that sounds great, or is it really something that's necessary? And bottom line, they really have to look at the WIFM, W-I-F-M, what's in it for me? And as I always say, it's not, you're not the me, it's the people who are involved in it.
Right.
If you're developing a cost reduction program, for example, you really have to identify what's in it for the employees, and it's not, they tend to look at increased profitability as not being a worthy goal necessarily.
Unless you've got a good profit-sharing program.
Well, and, you know, that's not always necessary, but it is nice. But mm-hmm. what really is in it for the employees is a more stable, more prosperous, better place to work. You know, you really want to be profit-oriented as an hourly employee in an organization, because the stronger that company is, the more likely you are to get the pay raises you're looking for mm-hmm. and to have the job that you're looking for and to avoid the layoffs. You know, there were 109,000 people laid off just last month alone mm-hmm. in the United States. You don't want to be in that number because your company hasn't maintained profitability. It really comes down to what's in it for everybody in the organization. Then at the same time, you've got to make sure that it's not a fad and you don't look at it as a fad. That's why I like the model for cost reduction that I have in the white paper, because it is not a fad. It's
right.
One that actually does work.
It works. It's got real substance. Well, there's the music again, Steve. Folks, when we come back, we're going to get Steve to tell us how to tailor the program for your organization, how to make sure that your plan does not wind up on the scrap heap, that it actually does succeed. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend Steve Martin. Steve is the He and his wife are the authors of an outstanding book called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive Loving Communications. And Steve is also the author of an outstanding white paper called Cost Reduction Programs for Increased Profitability. And that white paper is available for free from Steve's website. Steve, give it out again, please.
www.positive-way.com/business.
Right. And if you forget that and you're in my website and you go to, which, by the way, my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and you're looking around, you're looking for Steve's site, just go to the Brain Trust section of my website, look for Steve's bio, and right below his bio is the website that he just gave you, and there's a direct link there. So you can link right to that and download the white paper and check out all the other things he has on his white paper, on his website. Steve, let's talk about another question that you have, and this is how to tailor the program for your organization. This fits right into what we've been talking about introducing a program to your employees. How do you tailor the program for your organization?
Well, there are a couple of things you need to look at, Jim, and one is specifically how you're going to keep track of your savings. one of the things that makes the program go, what keeps it alive, is a reporting system where you have, once you've set your goals, you make sure that you have each of the projects well identified as on a sheet of paper or a spreadsheet or a computer reporting program,
mm-hmm.
so that you know how to measure the results and report on a regular basis. Now, if you're a relatively small organization and you don't like a lot of official things going on, I'd recommend, for example, that you do your reporting on a quarterly basis. So it's not really a heavy burden. Now you're mm-hmm. only talking about writing 4 reports a month or doing 4 calculations a month for each of your programs or each of the cost reduction elements that you have going forward. Now, if you're a larger, more sophisticated organization, you may want to have monthly reporting. And I really do encourage that if you can, even in a smaller organization, because the monthly reporting will keep your eye on the ball.
One of the things that all this, and a lot of people, and folks, we're talking about cost reduction programs. That's the primary focus of our discussion. And one of the things that a lot of people, that sort of intimidates them or discourages them about something like we're talking about is the reporting, because they don't know how that formal report should look. They don't know, you know, and who's going to do it. And as you say, if you've got a small company, you know, it's you know, people are saying, you know, I don't need another job. I've already got 16 hats that I wear, and I just don't have enough time. But as you say, depending on how many people you have and how and your level of technological sophistication, the ability to create these reports on by, you know, through automated fashion, depending on that, you don't have to do it monthly. You can do it quarterly.
Sure. And the report can be just as simple as a Xeroxed form, which has the name of the project at the top, the target amount of dollar savings, the amount you're going to save each month or each quarter, and then how you're going to calculate it. Then you hang on to that small stack of papers, and every quarter or every month you do the calculation to determine how much you've saved and then compare it against your objective.
Let's think of a real simple little cost reduction thing that we could do. What about, like, saving long distance on long distance? That's something. I'm just trying to think of giving somebody, a little bitty company, a way to get started in cost reduction thinking, to have that, to try to install that culture in the company. Maybe it just be something as simple as saving money on long-distance calls. That's something that would be easy to track on a monthly basis, isn't it?
It's relatively easy, and it's an excellent idea. You know, with all of the competition in local and long-distance phone services these days, I highly recommend that every organization, in fact, every family, take a look at their phone costs. So if you're going to say that's one of your projects, you'd have a piece of paper at the top that would say, I'm telephone cost reduction. The objective might be to reduce the cost 20% each month, or pick a dollar amount if you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then below that, you would just keep track of your telephone expenses.
And it might be, maybe one of the things you do is say, okay, I'm going to use 800 numbers whenever I can find them.
Sure. That's a good way to do it as well.
And make sure all your employees do all that. And there could be a lot of different ways, a lot of different sources that these savings could come from. Part of it, as you say, could be just finding the lowest and the best service, the lowest price, best service for long-distance calls. But there could be other things, maybe in adjusting your Yellow Page expenses or whatever it might be. But I'm just thinking of a real simple one that virtually every business, no matter how small you are, would have that kind of an expense that needs to be controlled.
You're talking about something that we do in our organization. We're relatively small, and we take a look at that. We have a list of client numbers available, and we use those 800 numbers, as you suggest.
Right.
We also are very careful with how we make our calls and then what we do on the calls. It's not just a matter of calling up and talking about the weather. We mm-hmm. try to get to business.
Exactly. And when can you use email and avoid the phone call?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, my international phone costs have dropped substantially since I've been using email predominantly for consulting with foreign clients.
Exactly. All right, Steve, stand by. Folks, when we come back, Steve's going to talk to us about how to identify opportunities for cost reduction. 39 After, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Steve Martin, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Lessingham, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Steve Martin. Steve is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. His organization is called The Positive Way. His book is called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive, Loving Communications. It's an outstanding book. Steve, before we get back into our cost-cutting cost-cutting programs, take us on a little quick tour of your book, Talk to Me, you and the book that you and Catherine wrote.
Well, Jim, one of the things that Catherine and I have found in our years together as a married couple and, of course, years together in business is that communication is one of the most difficult challenges that we face as people. Also, the other thing we find is that people succeed depending on what they have as an attitude. And we found that people with a positive attitude who can communicate very well are much more successful in their interpersonal relationships as well as their business life in general. So Talk to Me actually starts with a story about a couple who's relatively young, newly married, having problems in work and having problems in their relationship, and they run into an older couple, a mentoring couple that has actually gone through this and succeeded and turned their lives around. And the story talks about, actually shows how they make a change, positive difference in their lives. The interesting thing is that's a true story. It's the composite of elements of other people's lives. Mm-hmm. Then the rest of the book actually, in very simple, straightforward terms, prescribes how to identify problems in your interpersonal communications and then how to take action to improve it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, folks, I don't care whether you're in business, I don't care if you're a teacher, I don't care if you're a lineman for the county, I don't care if you pump gas for a living, drive a truck, or a farmer, I don't care what you do, if you want to be successful in life, you've got to be able to communicate with people, and that's one of the reasons why you hear me over and over talk about Steve and Catherine's book, Talk to Me, How to Create Positive, Loving Communications. It's so important, and no matter what you do in your life, no matter what part of your life we're talking about, and I recommend that you check their book out, which you can get from their website. That's one way to get it. Steve, give your website out again, please.
www.positive-way.com. Pardon me?
I'm sorry, it's $12.95.
$12.95 and free shipping for people who order over the Internet.
Website again, go ahead.
www.positive-way.com.
And if you want the business side of their website, just put a /business on the end of it, right?
Right. Or you can go to the other website, and there's a link very, very early in the first page that will take you right there.
One of the interesting things about this, folks, is I met Steve and Catherine via their book when I found their book. About a year ago, and then found out that there was an extra dividend to knowing these guys, because Steve is, as you know and as you come to know, is an outstanding small business resource. So that, you know, having your book available, Steve, and having you available to help me with my audience, my small business audience, is kind of a little bit of a double bonus there, and I appreciate that.
Well, knowing you is a bonus for me, Jim.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Yeah. Folks, let's get back into some of the questions that we're asking about how to make sure that you do a good job with your cost reduction programs. How do you identify opportunities, Steve, for cost reduction?
There are a couple of different ways to do it, Jim, and one of the simplest ways is to sit down with your monthly or quarterly expenses and just take a look at where you're spending the money and start working on the categories where you're spending the most and investigate for opportunities to find savings. And one of the ways to do that is just ask yourself, well, why am I spending this money? Mm-hmm. Is there another way to spend it? How can I do it differently? What would happen if I did this differently? And what if I did it at a different time? What if I did it in a different place? So you just start challenging what you've assumed to be constant, and you can actually start digging out some ideas. Another good method is brainstorming. I highly recommend that. That's where you bring a group of anywhere from, well, you can do it with yourself, but or actually two to seven people together and ask them the question, how can we reduce costs in a particular area? There are a couple of rules that you have to follow to brainstorm effectively. And the first one is you have to defer all judgment. You never decide or talk about whether an idea is good or bad while you're generating ideas and brainstorming.
That's really important, because a lot of times you're in these meetings, these brainstorming meetings, and somebody wants to kill your idea right away.
The minute you bring in judgment, it's no longer brainstorming.
Right. Yeah.
The deferment of judgment, holding off the criticism or the accolades, is the thing that makes it go.
No matter how ridiculous it is, no matter how many times other people have believed that this has been tried and it didn't work, you can't talk about that, can you?
That's exactly right. You've got to defer the judgment, because what you're looking for is quantity. You want to get as many as you can. Studies have shown that the best ideas come in the last half of the session, and particularly in the last 20%. And if you're criticizing or judging, you'll never get there.
Especially when you've got people in the organization who are not, you know, every brainstorming session's going to have somebody, maybe most of them, of the people involved, are going to be reticent to bring up their ideas, to because they're afraid somebody's going to jump all over them, or they think maybe they're not a good, it's not a good idea.
That's human nature.
And perhaps, and quite likely, that idea from that quiet person who is very thoughtful is where the bonus is.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, folks, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our very good friend, Steve Martin. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Steve Martin, one of the great members of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, just someone who you know now after all these weeks and months that Steve's been with us, all the different times, you know he makes a commitment to helping small business owners, and otherwise he wouldn't be with us today. And I know you've appreciated and have enjoyed his words of wisdom. Steve, let's move on down your list of questions on how to make sure your cost reduction program works. One of the things that I'd like to ask you is, how do you build it to last?
That's a very good question, and in some ways it's the most simple, and in some ways it's the most difficult. It's simple from the standpoint that you have to determine what it's going to do for you as an organization, and then what it's going to do for all of the individuals in the company. And once you determine that, you set it up simply enough or in such a way that it fits the culture of your organization, and then it just kind of runs in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And you never even have to think about it. Every time you have your operations meetings with the people on the floor or at the phones or in the headquarters, whatever you're doing, or in the back office, you sit down and say, well, our cost reduction program has contributed $100,000 so far this year, and we're on plan or we're ahead of plan, and bingo, you move on to your next item. It becomes really a part of your life.
If your organization does not have a cost reduction culture, that is a culture that somebody basically installed by default or by plan, which you'd hate to think anybody would do it by plan, but if that culture can be there, why can't a cost reduction culture be there?
Right. And, you know, in some cases, Jim, you just have to change the language a little bit, too. You call it an efficiency culture.
Right.
Rather than cost reduction, which sounds like you're taking something away, I, in some cases, like to say we're adding efficiency.
How about more money in all our pockets plan? one of my guests on the show is a guy named Jeff Gittimer. He says, don't say thank you for the business to your customers. Say thank you for the food. You know, I mean, let's cut it right to the chase here.
That's right. What's in it for me? It's my job.
That's right.
It's my family. Yeah.
Like you said earlier, whiff them.
That's right. So I really do encourage people to build it in and have everyone in the organization understand how they are contributing to the efficiency, the well-being, the stability, the longevity of the organization. And if you're a two-person company, two-person organization, it's just as important, if not more important, for you than it is for the multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Steve, I got about 30 seconds. Let's talk about how do we recognize people when they help us save money.
Thank you is really a tremendous way.
It's amazing how far that goes, isn't it?
Absolutely. We all want to be appreciated for what we do in life, and if you can do that as part of your corporate culture or your personal management style, you've got a winner.
Yeah, yeah. And that doesn't cost you anything, just to say thank you.
It really doesn't. Now, you can at times start adding things like plaques and simple prizes and things
dinner,
like
dinner
that.
Dinner for two or whatever, something like that?
Absolutely. Whatever really people notice. Right?
And you don't have to automatically think of it. You don't have to think, I'm going to give everybody a raise. It could be just some small things.
Small things first, and then you go from there. And, of course, as the company, the organization becomes stronger, then you have the chance, of course, of looking at spreading the wealth.
Right. Steve, well said. Thank you very much for being with us today. We've got to wrap it up. Have a great one.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, as always. All right, folks, I got to go. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.